I like the way you cross the street, cause you're
precious.
Got press in pocket.
I knew I wasn't going to live in the States. I wasn't going to get trapped into buying a car so I could get to work so I could pay for my car. I knew the whole system wasn't going to work for me. And there was nothing here I wanted. I wasn't interested in seeing New York or LA or anything. I just knew I was going to leave. I guess you could say I was feeling very suicidal, and I thought if I stayed here, I'd kill myself. I just knew that I had, you know, I'd go to England.
I'm special, special, so special, special. I got half some of your attention, give to me.
Hey, this is Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders, and I'm in the studio.
Ben Edmonds, writing in the Pretenders box set called Pirate Radio, says of the quartet's remarkable 1980 debut, and I quote, "The music was fronted by a voice like no other, belonging to a woman whose unflinching narratives could make a biker blush." In the punk 70s, women began to achieve a level of equality that had been largely theory and lip service in the 60s. If anything, Chrissy Hynde represented the next step. A female rocker who has inspired guys, end quote. Chrissy Hynde was born and raised in Akron, Ohio, just south of Cleveland. Barely out of high school, Chrissy moved to London, England in 1973. Hynde had been playing crude electric guitar in her room and trying to find her voice, but not in the usual ways, you know, talent shows and garage bands or even the church choir. Here's Chrissy Hynde with me in the studio.
Was kind of staying with a couple people. I mean, they let me crash out in their hallway, actually. And when they went off to work during the day, I would shut myself in the closet and sort of sing along to Candy Staten songs and stuff. I knew I wanted to be a singer since I was four, but I didn't, you know, when it got down to it, I really didn't know what I sounded like or how I was going to sing. So having no experience with that, you know, I mean, I'm not the sort of person that would take voice lessons or anything like that. I just had to kind of work out how I sounded. So I just shut myself in a closet and would kind of try to sing, you know. I've always been very tight-assed about it, you know. I never would write or play around anyone else, so I'd always wait till I was alone. I knew I wasn't going to live in the States. I wasn't going to get trapped into buying a car so I could get to work so I could pay for my car. I knew the whole system wasn't going to work for me. And there was nothing here I wanted. I wasn't interested in seeing New York or LA or anything. I just knew I was going to leave. And I knew that pretty early on, too. I guess you could say I was feeling very suicidal, and I thought if I stayed here, I'd kill myself. So I knew that I wanted to see the world, and because I grew up on this English music, and that was really the thing that kept me, my spirits buoyant while I was a teenager, where all else failed, I just knew that I had, you know, I'd go to England. You cross the street, cause you're
precious.
Moving through the Cleveland heat, how precious. You're taking that and all the kicks are so precious. You know how to shit in bricks, cause I ain't
precious.
Make me wanna. You made me make it. He split the 5th and Euclid Avenue was real precious. Hotel still ain't coming into view. How precious. It's a pity that you bruised my hip, cause I'm precious. You shouldn't let your manners slip, you're too precious. Make me wanna. Make me make it. Oh, we're gonna bound and bound and bound and bound and bound the shore.
'cause I have my annual imperial, you're so. Now how are the duck and Mr. Stress both stayed? Trapped in a world that they never made. But not me, baby, I'm too precious, had to fuck off. You made me wanna You made me make it.
And I'd had this ambition to go there, I suppose, you know, from an early age. I loved horses when I was a kid, and I really always thought that England was, I mean, way before the Beatles or anything, I thought it must be something special because of, you know, I thought everyone rode horses. I was pretty naive. I hadn't been anywhere else, and I'd never met anyone who had a passport. I mean, I'd never even met a vegetarian, you know, I didn't know anything. But I knew I wasn't going to live in the States, so I can't remember how I got my passport together, but I got one and I had a series of jobs and I think my airline ticket must have cost a couple hundred bucks then, and I had about $500. And I went with a girlfriend I think she'd been there once before, and we went over there together. I think she only lasted a few weeks though, but I knew I was staying, you know, so. And then I had quite a series of jobs after that. And just, you know, I just felt like Alice in Wonderland when I got there. I was so happy. I was disappointed in the music scene because Mark Bolan wasn't playing down the road. And no one had heard of the Velvet Underground or Iggy Pop or, you know, I thought everyone was going to be so hip when I got there. And then I found out that actually, you know, I was the hippest one. So, if I do say so myself.
Got this in pocket. I'm gonna use it. Intention. I'm feeling mental. Gonna make you notice. Got motion, restrained emotion. I've been diving, detour leaning. No visa.
Make it see.
Brass in Pocket, released as a single in 1979, went to number one in the UK. Interestingly, before Chrissy Hynde was a professional rock musician, she was a professional rock critic for England's most influential music paper.
And I met some people that worked for the NME, the New Musical Express. And the NME was kind of significant to me because I could get it at Grey Drugstore in Akron. And it was, you know, a few weeks late, but I could get it sometimes. And, you know, I remember cutting a picture of Iggy Pop out on my wall and having it and thinking that everyone would know who Iggy Pop was when I got there. Well, it only took me about a month to meet the people, the girl who took the picture and the guy that wrote the article. And somehow I was working at the NME just like that, just by accident. Oh, it was just a job. Yeah, it was a hand-to-mouth thing. I mean, I didn't even think I could write. I was shocked, actually, when they asked me. Just because I was so opinionated and I was, you know, spouting my mouth off about an album in a pub. And this guy leans over and he goes, hey, you should write for us. And it turns out he was the assistant editor of the paper. And I just, you know, probably gave him a dirty look. And I thought you had to have some sort of qualifications to write or do something. I didn't know that you could just be, you know, any bum off the street who just, you know, had some ideas. And that's all I was. And then I wrote for them for a while, which was fantastic. I realized I could actually work at home. Well, you know, I had a room somewhere. And I didn't have to keep hours. And that was great for me because I wasn't really good at that sort of thing. And I did that until, I guess after about a year of that, I started really just putting everything down. I was getting very frustrated and I didn't like anything. By 1974 in the music scene, I just kept being more and more frustrated and really criticizing what was going on. And then I thought, well, if I feel this bad about rock music, then, you know, maybe I'm starting to think that I could do better than that. And so I thought I better put my money where my mouth was, you know.
It is time for you to stop all of your sobbing. Yes, it's time for you to stop all of your sobbing. Oh, oh. There's one thing you gotta do.
Pretender's first single, released in late 1978, was a cover of a Ray Davis Kink song called Stop Your Sobbing. Next, quick success, but there are some troubling signs internally. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter. And for this and other rock star interviews and live performances, too, you can visit inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Chrissy Hynde. In the Studio, The Pretender's debut album.
Hey, this is Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders, and I'm in the studio. So stick around, and I'll tell you all about it.
And I'm Redbeard, The Pretenders' debut, ranked at number 155 on Rolling Stone magazine's top 500 all-time list. But before any of that could transpire, Chrissy Hynde had to recruit band members for a group which would include bass player Pete Farndon.
I didn't know Pete Farndon prior to The Pretenders. I met a guy named Gas Wild. He was a drummer that Lemmy from Motorhead had said, hey, you should check this guy Gas out. And I was staying around at another journalist, Vivian Goldman's flat, where I was kind of crashing on the floor. One Saturday, and I looked down at Ladbroke Grove in London, and I saw this guy that looked like the guy Lemmy had described, because he knew I was looking to get a band together. And I threw open the window and said, hey, man, are you Gas? And he went, yeah. I said, do you want to be in a band? And he went, yeah. And I said, well, come on up. And I played him a couple tunes, and he was, you know, well into that. And then we worked for a while. Anyway, the significant link is that he was from Hereford, which is where all of the original Pretenders were from. And he said, look, I know this bass player that's just got back from Australia. And I saw him when I was at home in Hereford, you know, around Easter. So I said, yeah, well, you know, wheel him in. And we listened to Pete, and, you know, he really liked what I was doing. But Gas was getting too out of it, and I remember one day he fell off the drum stool while he was playing, so I just thought, no, I don't need this. Anyway, so then it was me and Pete, and through Pete that's another story how we got Jimmy in, and then it's another story how we got Mart in, but they were all from Hereford, and that was the significant beginnings of the Pretenders.
What some of the early music writers who quickly became mesmerized by Chrissie Hynde may have failed to appreciate is that she had been just as influenced by American soul music, such as Sam Cooke, as by punk rock and Iggy Pop.
Well, Sam Cooke is also where the name The Pretenders really came from. Yeah, from his version of The Great Pretender. Yeah, I knew this biker, and my girlfriend and I were laughing about him one night because, you know, I was telling her this story about how he took me aside and, like, put the bolt on the door, and he goes, I don't want my brothers to hear this, you know, but, and he played me this song, The Great Pretender, and he said, that's me in that song. But he couldn't let them because, you know, they were bikers, they're sort of racist. The only thing they ever listened to was the concert at Altamont, live at Altamont, you know, and, like, for him to be listening to, like, this black soul singer would have been like, you know, he wouldn't have allowed the brothers to hear that. So I was telling my girlfriend this story and we were laughing at him, you know, at how he had, you know, was ashamed to admit that he loved this music. And around that time is when they were calling me up and saying, look, we're pressing up Stop Your Sobbing now, so can we please have a name? And I just remember talking to her about it and I said, well, then call it The Pretenders.
And there's 20 doors around your hearts, black and blue, but you love boys. I tore my knees up getting to you because I needed to find out what the thing was for. I've been reading. A man's time came to explore. I went ape fire because I thought like I like it. Little tease, but I didn't need it. But you mess with a good star, you gotta pay. A good time was guaranteed for one and all. The tattoos, target practice in the hall while waiting for their number to get called out. I found out what the wait was about. I was a good time, yeah. I got pretty good at changing tires upstairs, bro. I shot my mouth off and you showed me what that hole's for.
It wasn't just the critics who appreciated their debut. This Pretenders album went to number one sales in the UK and top 10 in the States. For the next 4 years, the Pretenders would be constantly in the headlines, but this would be the last time that it was for musical reasons for quite a while. On the second U.S. tour, drummer Martin Chambers punched a light, cutting his hand so badly that Pretenders concerts were canceled. Here's Chrissie Hynde in the studio.
He certainly punched a lamp and cut his hand badly and couldn't play. It happens to people when they're on tour and they're traveling a lot and they're in hotels a lot, you know, all sorts of crazy things. You know, like the thing that I was talking to you earlier about me being arrested in Memphis, you know. I mean, that was just a the byproduct of traveling for 21 hours and probably drinking a lot of whiskey or doing something really stupid. You know, I was just like I was just a dumb young kid. You know, I was desperate for sleep. And, you know, by the time I hosed myself off and tried to go off out that night, you know, and try to, you know, and I just wasn't in the mood for someone being rude to me. And the next thing I know, I'm in jail.
Kid was a 1979 single that features a delightful, economical guitar solo from James Honeyman Scott. Still to come, A Change Is Gonna Come, followed quickly by Double Tragedies. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, with Chrissy Hynde in the studio, The Pretenders' debut.
Hey, this is Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders, and I'm in the studio. So stick around, and I'll tell you all about it.
And I'm Redbeard. Over the years, some revealing things have emerged from my interviews with Chrissy Hynde. Her aggressive insistence on control of all aspects of her band were driven by a combination of insecurity and determination not to be manipulated.
I won't be. You know, my freedom is too important to me. And so, you know, I'm not going to let something dictate itself to me. Although, you know, most certainly I did tamper and I was a total asshole a lot of the time. You know, I mean, I don't imagine that I had a great reputation in those days. I wouldn't even let the police in a building come into our sound checks. You know, to me, those were like private affairs. And this is when we're getting our sound and we're dealing with stuff. And, you know, I was extremely shy, to be honest, and very nervous to do shows and had stage fright and all that. And that's how all young bands are. And it culminates in, you know, it looking like you're a real prima donna, but really you're just, you know, you're out of your depth. You don't really know what you're doing. Nothing bothers me now, you know, because I just don't take it personally anymore. You know, I know what I'm capable of, and I'll deliver that. And if people want more, well, go next door, you know, go down the road. because I just give what I've got, and you know, I don't get too bent out of shape about things anymore.
Now the reason we're here as man and woman is to love each other, take care of each other. When love walks in the room, everybody stand up. Oh, it's good, good, good. Like Brigitte Bardot. Now look at the people in the streets, in the bars. We are all of us in the gutter. Some of us are looking at the stars. Look round the room. Life is unkind. We fall, but we keep getting up. This way, your eyes are blue like the heavens above. Talk to me, darling, with a message of
love. Now the reason we're here, every man and every woman, is to help each other, stand by each other. When love walks in the room, everybody stand up.
Message of Love comes from the Pretenders 1981 EP, which was later expanded to a full album as Pretenders 2. But at least one member of the Pretenders seemed to be suffering from the bends, a deep sea diving condition where you can come up to the top too quickly. A quick rise to the top can be deadly, as it turned out to be for Pretenders bass player Pete Farndon. Here's Chrissy Hynde.
And in the early days, we sort of put the band together and we were like full of enthusiasm and we wanted the same things. But as time went on, you know, and I mean, now when I look at it, it was a short period of time. We got the band together. Everything was going well. And, you know, I loved Pete, but to my mind, he got too much into the sort of rock and roll mythology of it all. I mean, he met the Heartbreakers when they came to London. And, you know, they were all junkies. And he really admired that and thought that was so cool, Johnny Thunders. And he sort of emulated that, you know. And, you know, that's what he got into.
The band had opened shows in support of the Kinks on their 1980 tour, during which time Pretenders lead singer Chrissy Hynde had a romance with Kinks leader Ray Davis.
I got pregnant. I mean, this was all part of my plan, really. And that was no accident. You know, it was starting to get on my nerves a bit that, you know, I spent so long trying to get a band together. And for years, people were saying, hey, what are you doing now? And I'd say, oh, I'm still trying to get a band together. They'd say, oh, you're still trying to get a band together. And I felt really humiliated by that after a couple of years. And I really was determined. I knew I was going to get this band together. And when I finally got it together, you know, you do one album, and after that, everyone's going, great, when's the next album? And, like, suddenly it just started seeming too easy somehow. And I thought, well, you know, I was with someone I was in love with, and I thought, this is more part of the divine plan than me putting albums out. So I went ahead with that. And then I didn't even have a chance to tell Pete and Jimmy that I was, you know, about 3 months pregnant. And all of a sudden, and I, in fact, I had a meeting with Martin and Jimmy to discuss what we were going to do at Pete. And at that meeting, I said, by the way, you guys, I'm pregnant. And we talked about that. And they said, okay, well, again, nothing I would have ever gone to the public with because, you know, to me, it's my own personal business. The band said, hey, that's all right. We'll support you. Whatever happens is fine. We'll just get on with it. They didn't seem bothered about it at all, to which I was extremely grateful.
To want something sometime, one thing leads to another. I know was a time I wanted you for mine. Nobody knew. You arrived like a day and passed like a cloud. I made a wish, I said it out loud, loud in the crowd. Everybody heard. Talk a good time. It's not my place to know what you feel. I'd like to know, but why should I? Who were you then? Who are you now? Well, common labor by notch, by day highbrow. I get my room, I wonder then I sit on the bed, look at the sky. Up in the sky, clouds for you, babe, like the talk of the town. Maybe tomorrow, maybe someday. Maybe tomorrow, maybe someday. You've changed. You've changed place in this world. You've changed. You've changed your place in this world. Oh, but it's hard to live by the rules. I never could and still never do. The rules and such never bothered you. You call the shots and they follow. Watch you steal from the distance and go back to my room. You'll never know. I want you, but now it's the talk of the town.
The problems with bassist Pete Farndon escalated to a point where the other three members had a meeting. Here's Chrissy Hind of the Pretenders.
And we kicked him out of the band. And it, you know, it wounded him deeply. And it certainly hurt me because I knew I'd started it with him and I didn't want to see it go that way. But it got to the point to where we couldn't work together. And anyone that's had that situation in the band, and many people have, will tell you the same thing. It's not an original story there. And then he died about 8 months later. You know, everyone thinks that I'm the hard ass and it all came from me. But actually, you know, I was the one who was kind of relented and said, look, we can't do this to him. You know, we got to give him a second chance. And at the meeting I had with Martin and Jimmy, well, Jimmy flatly said, if Pete's in, I'm out. I won't work with him. And they were a lot more focused on, you know, the reality of the situation. And we had a hard time. You know, it's hard to work with someone who is going against the grain at every juncture because they're, you know, too fucked up to get with the program, you know. So, and I was actually pretty shocked by it. I thought that was really hard. But they were adamant.
Mm-hmm.
As hard as it was to fire original bass player Pete Farndon, there was yet another shoe to drop involving Pretenders guitarist James Honeyman Scott. Again, Chrissy Hynde.
No, Jimmy was very unhealthy when I met him. He'd already been a little speed freak in Hereford. You know, an unhealthy kid. I mean, wicked sense of humor. And I just, you know, I learned to absolutely love him to death. You know, he was like our little brother. And, you know, as you know, an exceptional guitar player. And certainly he created the Pretender sound with me. You know, he brought out the melody in me, and I made him fire out these amazing guitar solos. You know, I egged him on and spurred him on to glory. But no, it was just a careless, someone slipped him something, and, you know, he was probably a bit drunk, and it was late at night, and, you know, someone slipped him a lethal cocktail, and that was it. Nothing to do with Pete at all. Hey, Jimmy's the one that wanted Pete out of there. Our loyalty was to the music, and nothing was going to stop us in our musical quest. And 2 days after we threw Pete out, totally out of the blue, Jimmy died, you know, from some lethal cocktail he took when he went out at some benefit they were putting on for Ronnie Lane, yeah, some multiple sclerosis benefit. And Jimmy went out and just copped it that night. And then, of course, you know, 2 days later, Jimmy's dead, and we'd fired Pete. So now I was pregnant. It was just me and Martin, you know. So, and I guess being alone with the drummer wouldn't be most people's first choice. I mean, I love Martin, but, you know. Well, you know, I was pretty resilient. I was only about 28, so, you know, I had a lot of strength. I suppose it was hard, you know. I'm not one to, like, cry about it now. And I got on with it, and I had to, you know, but the bad news was that I was pregnant, but I had to, you know, I was traumatized at the loss of my two best friends, Pete and Jimmy. One, tragically, because we fired him, which was, like, in some ways more painful than Jimmy dying, you know, because at least that was an accident. So it was extremely traumatic, I suppose, when I look back on it. I mean, you know, I was just getting on with it at the time. And like I said, I wouldn't have talked about it. I'm certainly not trying to sensationalize it to my own end or to win public sympathy or anything. Everyone goes through this. Name anyone else my age who hasn't had a few friends, you know, keel over along the way, you know? Yeah, it's part of life. But yeah, I had to get on with replacing two members of the band while I was pregnant. So I wasn't really in the most rock mode. And it wasn't really what I had been planning on doing during that pregnancy, you know, to replace my best friends. So suddenly it was me and Martin. And I mean really suddenly, like within 2 days. It went like from everything to nothing.
Da, da, da. Da, da, da.
matter to you, my friend. So many letters that I never send. I think about you at the day's end. The time that we have, I laughed in my bed. The stupid things you said, we were paradise. Da 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 da. When I was a little girl with clay horses and lambs on the shelves, I caught frogs in ditches and sent for elves. My friends and I to run away, how am I to be with the birds of paradise? Da da da, da da da, da da da. Once upon a time, my mind still there wanders. Back in your room, the things I remember. One time when we took off our clothes, but you were crying, crying. You said nothing lasts forever. We were happy together. I thought about you in Stockholm.
Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest, Chrissy Hine. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2015, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.